Washington, the Vegas Golden Knights select Nate Schmidt, defenseman.
Someone needs to burn this place to the ground.
Ooh, I like that.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Reporter Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. So it has been a busy week here for the NHL in general, especially for the Caps, and we're going to talk all about it. We got people going to Vegas, we got schedules, we got new sweaters, all kinds of S's, Schmidt, sweaters, really. Schedules, lots of stuff going on. And to talk about the S with me, talking S. What's up, Coach Dan?
We do that most of the time. Let's be honest there, Brandon.
All right, so let's start off with the big news. Nate Schmidt, no longer a Capital. He won the lottery and got to be the guy that the Vegas Golden Knights took away from us. Now, all signs pointed...
Did he win a lottery, though?
Well,
he did with the freaking all the moves that they were making.
Yeah, but... All signs pointed to Grubauer. So what changed here? How come Nate Schmidt is no longer going to be in red?
I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. I think some of it, I don't know how much it plays a part in terms of the move that the Penguins made, guaranteeing that Vegas would take Fleury. I don't know how much of it played a part in terms of some of the other moves that they made, but it definitely seemed like a lot of rumors were coming out in the last couple of days about Vegas taking Schmidt. And then when we saw that they took the goaltender from the Islanders, one of the early picks was another young goaltender, and it was like, uh-oh, not looking good in terms of the Caps being able to hang on to Schmidt. And it's not so much that they lost a younger defenseman, a puck-moving defenseman with a league that is moving more and more towards speed and being able to exit the zone in the way that Schmidt and Carlson and Niskanen and Orlov can do. But so much as this team does not have a replacement ready.
Right.
I mean, some people go, oh, we have Brooks Orpik. He's old and slow. And while Orpik brings a lot of great intangibles to this team in terms of his veteran leadership, the way he prepares for games, what he can do for the young guys in terms of off-the-ice stuff is phenomenal. But in terms of on-the-ice, he just doesn't have the same skills he had before. And it wasn't like he was ever like a fast guy. Like, he wasn't beating players down the ice. Maybe Jeff Schultz, but no one else was really beating down the ice most nights. But his physicality was a big plus, you know, when he was playing for the Penguins. Sure. And for Team USA and the Caps in his first year too. But, you know, he's a third pairing defenseman, and now they kind of have to play him in the top four because they don't have anybody else. I mean, we're talking about Madison Bowie being guys probably coming up and getting top, you know, playing in the top six next season. He's not ready for a top four role.
No.
And finding a guy that is, you know, someone of Schmidt's skill set, while it isn't necessarily the greatest, he still is, you know, he's a very good hockey player. Playing in the NHL, so obviously you're a good hockey player. But Schmidt's a top four. You would have been a top four defenseman on this team. You would have been the fourth best defenseman on this team. And to try and replace him is going to be pricey in either draft picks and through a trade or prospects or trying to buy one in the free agent market. And let's also keep in mind that Schmidt was going to be cheap. He was not going to have a huge salary hit against this team. So to lose him is a problem.
Well, if you go listen to past shows that you and I have done, you and I have both been critical of Nate Schmidt, and maybe not like, not that he was a bad guy or a bad player, but we both said that he was the seventh best defenseman on the team, and that's why he sat out. So Kevin Shattenkirk had the time of what you think would have been enough time for a veteran to get used to the team and ready to the playoffs, but he really was able to come out of his shell and show what he can do in the playoffs. And I've always liked Nate Schmidt's play with Ovechkin. I thought the two of them did really well for offensive and defensive players. So this sucks. It's definitely a loss for the team, like you said, in price, but also just in player ability. So it really sucks to see Nate Schmidt go, and from what I understand, he might not even be going to Vegas. He may just be a bargaining chip for another team.
Actually, it's interesting. I just was reading, I don't remember where, I want to say Twitter. They're talking about how McPhee intends to actually keep Schmidt.
Really?
As he's a young defenseman, which is interesting. He's a young defenseman. They want to hang on to him. And then they traded Van Riemsdyk to Carolina. So I'm confused as to what exactly their plans are here. So, who knows exactly what George McPhee is going to do in terms of how much the NHL ripped their, you know, other teams off and helped some teams out in terms of how this all went down. But losing Schmidt is a bad thing for the Capitals because he's an up-and-coming defenseman. He's only 25. He wasn't going to cost a lot. And he's a guy that fits into the way the NHL wants to play now. However, what he was going to cost to keep in terms of what they would have to trade wasn't worth it. Mm-hmm. You were looking at teams that were trading away pretty good prospects and first or second round picks. So my question for you, Brandon, would you trade a first round pick or a first round pick and a good prospect to pick up Nate Schmidt if he was playing on another team?
That's a good question.
Would you do that? Because I wouldn't. Maybe. Well, I wouldn't trade a first round pick. Definitely not.
Yeah, that's where you're kind of getting me.
Fourth defenseman, and you know, he's going to be cheap, and he's a restricted free agent, or not? I don't remember. He's not on the team anymore. Oh,
you're your own soundboard.
A little bit. You know, he's a guy who wasn't going to cost you a lot of money, whether it be resigned or not. It would have been great to keep him. It's definitely disappointing that he left. It was the worst case scenario was that they'd pick up, that they picked him up. Best case scenario is they went out and tried to sign one. Vegas went out and signed one of their free agents because that would have counted as the player they've taken from their team. So if they go out and sign like Alzner, you're like, darn, but we get to keep everybody else. And losing Grubauer would have sucked, but the reality is they have a bunch of young guys coming along. You know, you have to re-sign Copley, whatever his name is. And then you have Vanacek. Not that I ever think he's going to be like a starter in the NHL, but you know, who knows what could come of him. And then you have Samsonov over in Russia. It sounds like he's going to be at least sticking around in the KHL should it exist after this next season. They're not going anywhere. I just thought it was funny because their team's struggling and like leaving their league and they're not paying their players unless you're one of the rich teams. You have him over there for another year, and he's probably coming over to the NHL. And you have Holpe. So you're telling me you need the defenseman. But now, with Schmidt gone, you have to go out and you have to acquire somebody. Because if you go with Orpik in your top four, that's a problem. We know the Capitals aren't going to be as good as they were this past season. This is the reality of the salary cap,
Which
is going up by $2 million after everyone thought it was going to stay put. So that actually helps them out. But now they have to go out and find another defenseman to play in that top four, and those are expensive one way or another.
Now, are you thinking maybe Carl Alzner sticks around? I mean, all signs, again, pointed to him leaving. Vegas actually talked to him a little bit during that 72 hours they were allowed to talk to players. Or do you see, like, Kevin Shattenkirk sticking around a little bit longer?
Shattenkirk, no, he's too expensive.
Okay.
Like, thanks for coming. We appreciate it. Have a nice day. Enjoy New York. We all know that's where he's going. He's going to New York. He's from New Rochelle. It's right outside the city. He's going to the Rangers. But Isabel Kershuni was talking about this on Twitter, and she wrote about it, I believe, in a piece that she wrote yesterday or today, that it looks like, you know, and she doesn't have any actual proof or talk to anybody about this necessarily, but it certainly seems more likely that the Capitals will look at bringing back Alzner now, even though he may be expensive, because you need a top four defenseman and you know this guy.
Right.
I would like to see them go out and trade Grubauer and bring in a defenseman. A younger guy, doesn't have necessarily the injury questions or concerns that Alzner has.
Right.
But someone, you know, he's a little younger, maybe a little more puck mover. I mean, Alzner is a very good defenseman. The injury that happened to him last season did something bad.
Yeah.
Because he was not necessarily, I mean, he played well, but he wasn't the same guy. Mm-hmm. And the injury kept him out for quite a while. enough that they went out and acquired Shattenkirk, which still was a good deal. Even if it didn't work out necessarily the way they thought, it was still a good deal. It was the right deal at the time. If they hadn't done anything, we would have been more pissed than, you know. Either way, the Capitals, McClellan's got a lot of work to do. And if you have to go out and spend more money than you would have on Schmidt, does that cause you to not be able to bring back Oshie?
Yeah, this, I mean, this, honestly, everybody was saying Grubauer and this, that, whatever. We have so many goalies. Now it feels as if they put, like, you know, a monkey wrench into all the plans, and now everything is construed.
A little bit.
Yeah, and everything, nobody knows what's going to happen next. So it kind of sucks that this is the way it went down. Like you're saying, even though Schmidt was a great talent on the ice, it's kind of affecting the entire team in such a bad way, because it's affecting the salary, it's affecting who we can re-sign, it's changing.
Hang on, I'm going to cap, what's the website called again? Cap Friendly?
I have no idea.
All right, I'm going to go do Armchair GM, Brandon, while you talk. I did it before, but as you, me, and Ryan talking, I figured out a way to, God, the Vegas logo is stupid. I figured out a way to make it work, and we keep Oshie. I'm doing it right now.
I think Orpik was off your books, but with...
Yeah, and McClellan came out and said that he's not going to buy him out.
He's not.
Now, he could be completely full of S, which apparently is the phrase of the evening, but... and maybe I'll buy him out. I forgot who brought this up on Twitter, or I read somewhere someone was just talking to me. I honestly don't remember, but... Maybe you don't buy out Orpik. You trade him and retain a good amount of his salary, because he's only got – hold on. I got to look it up. I don't know how to look it up. I'm on their freaking website. This should be easier than I thought. He's only got, I think, a year or two left in his deal. So yeah, but have dead cap space for just a little while and, you know, by eating some of that salary? Or do you buy him out where it lasts longer? Maybe it's a little less, but it's going to take you, you know, 4 years.
But the thing about trading him away, no one's going to want him. I mean, that's
not necessarily true. His veteran leadership for a team that's rebuilding can be critically important. You have him this season. He's got a deal for another 2 years. If I'm a rebuilding team, if I'm the Washington Capitals circa Ovechkin's first year, I'm incredibly tempted to go out and acquire Orpik, especially if I'm not going to have to pay all of his salary. I'm only taking a $2 million cap hit as opposed to 5.5 for two more years, because he provides a lot of veteran leadership for my young defenseman as they're getting better and getting us to that next level. And then when his contract is up, bye, I'm going to replace you with someone that I can now afford with that cash race that was gone. If I'm a young team like, I don't know right now, because I don't know where to find it.
Like Vancouver? And
I'd have to see how much cap space they have, but if I'm Vancouver and I have a bunch of young defensemen, you know, I'd have to look and see if they actually do. But they only have $19 million in cap space, so I don't know about that. But if I'm a young team that's looking to make, like, Arizona, who has $32 million in cap space right now. Holy crap. I don't think Carolina would do it, but if you have a bunch of young defensemen, like, are you tempted to go out and bring him in to help your young guys progress off the ice and the way they prepare and the way they train, sort of their life and to some extent off the ice? It's a tempting move, especially if you're only having to have that count, $2 million or so, against your cap hit. It's a very tempting move for another team to do. And, yes, that's potentially $3.5 million of dead cap space. But if you buy him out, you still have $2.5 million of dead cap space for the next, I think it's 2 years. And there's like $1.5 for 2 years after that. Or do you just do $3.5 for just 2 years and that's it? Or do you just keep him around? You basically have $5.5 million of dead cap space because he's not doing anything on the ice. That was a little bit meaner, but the point's still made.
All right, so with the Nate Schmidt,
I mean, they're in trouble right now. They're gonna have to get real freaking creative.
Yeah. It's not looking good. But with,
what's it's looking bad? It's just right now everyone's kind of like, how are we gonna do this?
With Nate Schmidt going to Vegas, the Capitals re-signed Kristen Juice, and a lot of people are saying, could he be the replacement for Nate Schmidt? Of course, not a top four guy, but are we going to see him?
Not a top six guy right now, necessarily.
Really?
It's a two-year deal. First year is a two-way contract, so they can, you know, bring him up, send him down, no issues. The interesting part is that next season, or season after next, it's a one-way deal. So it looks like they're expecting him to stick around, not this upcoming season, but the one after that. So I think he gets some games in the NHL next season, but unless he comes in and is like, holy crap, look at this guy. You know, he's not sticking around necessarily. I think he's spending a lot of time in Hershey.
Okay. All right. So maybe not.
Unless Orpik breaks a hip or something.
Again.
Did he break a hip before?
Yeah. Didn't he fracture his hip 2 years ago and he was out for like 48 games?
That wasn't his hip.
That was his hip, wasn't it?
I don't know. I mean, that joke kind of is. I feel like that's too perfect of a joke for that to be the case.
I thought it was his hip. I swear it was his hip.
I'm telling you, it's too easy a joke. Like, it writes itself in terms of what you can make fun of him for. It's too easy. It's too easy. I don't think so, man.
All right. Well,
easy a bit.
It sucks to lose Nate Schmidt. It will be interesting to see the next couple days whether or not he stays in Vegas or whether or not he moves around. I did see on Twitter that Toronto is a little interested in him, so we might see
him. Caps just trade for him back. Just kidding.
I read that. Like, people were saying, can we trade for him back? Apparently there's a rule in that you can't trade back players that Vegas took until January 2018.
I mean, that makes sense. It's kind of a dick move, but it makes sense. Because it's too easy for you to go out and make that move just to be like, all right, we're holding him at ransom. What are you going to give up for him? Like, they want Vegas to be good, but not at the point where it's pretty freaking obvious that they're playing favorites.
Do you think that they'll at least make the playoffs this year?
The Caps?
No, the Vegas.
Oh. I have to go back and look at what teams did last season, but no.
No, okay.
It's too hard to say right now because we don't know what their freaking roster is going to look like because they acquired like 80 billion defensemen last night and now they've already moved two of them out. So I think their plan is to be decent next season and they're building a bunch of young guys that McPhee will then find a way to screw up. If you're Martin Erat, you're like, yeah, I'm going to go gamble. I'm getting acquired. I know everybody's making the Erat jokes and that really wasn't a very good one, but I just felt like I had to throw mine in there. All the good jokes are already taken. It's not fair.
All right, so best of luck to Nate.
Sorry, not to cut you off. It sucks. You know, it's not just because, like, it sucks to some extent because the dude is, he's a guy that was undrafted. The Capitals, I don't know if I'd say found him per se, but he was a guy that they brought in. They built him up to some extent to where he is today, and to lose him is one thing, but to lose him for freaking nothing?
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, how would you have saved him? The only other option would have been to go with the, like...
Well, all right, let me ask you this.
Seven skaters or eight skaters and a goalie, all right. In which case you would have been able to protect more defensemen, but which forward you that the Capitals protected would you rather have lost than Nate Schmidt?
Hold on, let me ask you this. If you were the GM, would you have protected Orlov or would you have protected Schmidt?
Orlov.
Really? So you wouldn't...
I didn't even hesitate.
Really?
See that? No hesitation, Brandon. Yeah, without a doubt.
How come?
Because I feel like Orlov has a higher upside.
Because he struggled throughout the past. I was...
Yeah, because he jacked up
his wrist. Yeah.
I was like about to be real confident, and then I was like, wait, I don't remember if that's right.
It was his wrist at Worlds.
Bro. No, I feel like Orlov has more upside offensively. He's going to be more expensive. But I feel like Orlov has more of an upside. I think that, and I don't know if it's just a DC thing or sports fandom in general, but here in DC, at least we tend to not get obsessed, but some of our younger sports fans and sometimes generic fans in general in regards to the backup quarterback for the Redskins, no matter whoever it may be, that hang on, I'm going somewhere with this. Now, we tend to fixate on players that are sort of unsung or not, you know, as well noticed. And I think Nate Schmidt was one of those guys where everyone's freaking out. But if Schmidt was the fifth or sixth defenseman on this team, we wouldn't be talking about it as big a deal right now. Mm-hmm. And he played the exact same way. Skill set was the exact same. But we already had – he was in the fifth or sixth defenseman. We already had a top four. We wouldn't be talking about this right now. I mean, we'd be talking about it. He's like, we lost Nate Schmidt, guys. That kind of sucks. He was a nice guy. He used to cheap. But what makes a big deal? It's because of the position it puts the Capitals in that makes it a bigger deal.
It's true.
And that's anything bad. I would have loved to kept Schmidt. Like, I was being like, Grubauer, damn, you know why I'm pissed we lost Grubauer? Because we could have gotten something good in the trade when we sent him away, just like we did with Neuwirth, which wasn't great, but whatever. And when we moved out Varlamov and then botched it by trading Forsberg away. But, you know, he would try. Or not, McPhee, idiot. But it's just, it's one of those situations where it's just like we lost a player that really could have helped this team and apparently was a hell of an interview for nothing. Like, literally nothing. You know what the Capitals got back? Jack squat. Jack ass, since that's the word we're not using tonight. They got nothing. It's freaking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Maybe $1.5 million in cap space, which saves them nothing since they need to go out and re-sign a bunch of guys. That's going to go. You have Oshie, hopefully. Kuznetsov, yeah. Burakovsky, yeah. You're going to re-sign Orlov, yeah. But they're going to cost a lot of money. It's just the reality of the situation sucks.
Yeah, and I think it's good that we end it there. Like you said, Nate Schmidt was a great guy on the ice, great guy off the ice, and made every single person that worked in the media loved Nate Schmidt. Just
he is a goofy dude.
Yeah, he really was. And I remember Ben Raby. It was during intermission one game. I want to say 2 or 3 years ago. Came back from the interview and called him Chuckles McLaugh. And I still remember
Wait,
that.
Which person called which person?
That? Ben Raby called Nate Schmidt Chuckles McLaugh.
Oh, okay.
And I just thought that was the funniest thing. And the guy just seems so he plays hard. He's got a lot of heart, but he was also kind of lighthearted at the same time. So that's kind of hard to find where you're working really hard, but you still kind of keep a smile about it. So that's going to suck losing that in the locker room, because he's kind of like one of the players' biggest cheerleaders as well, you know. So that sucks, but it is what it is. The Caps got some even more work to do, more than they already had. Already to do in this offseason. So hopefully the Capitals can get it done and GM Brian McClellan can work around this. But it sucks to see Nate Schmidt leave, especially, you know, he was one of the young guns with Tom Wilson and Michael Lotta and Andre Burakovsky and the young guns, the new young guns. Tom Wilson's pretty much the only guy left. Andre Burakovsky, you know, who knows where he will land in the next.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Burakovsky's sticking around. Sell them. Would you rather have lost Schmidt or Wilson?
Wilson, to be honest.
Interesting.
Wilson, how long have we seen this guy play now? And his game has yet to really improve.
Follow-up question.
Hold on. With Nate Schmidt, we've seen play improve throughout the years. Tom Wilson, he's still that big lumbering guy. And he's never turned into that Zdeno Chara guy that everyone said he would be when he was drafted.
I mean, Lucic?
That was Chara, big tall guy, you know?
Captain for the Wilson? Bruins. Yeah, I know who Chara is, man. He's the only guy taller than Shaq when he's on skates or something like that. I forget. There was a picture a long time ago. The question is, and this is posted by one-time guest Kyle Mace, who is follows Hershey Bears. Did they promote Wilson too early? Should he have spent another year or longer in Hershey and progress and grow? I guess fair question.
It is.
One guy we're not talking about is the guy they acquired from Minnesota in order to be able to protect Lars Eller. And I'm not going to say his last name right because there's too many letters that don't go together. Tyler Graovac. There is a great marketing thing right there. If this dude was a goalie, so many vacuum jokes. Telling you, man, the frickin' line writes itself. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Trust me.
So what do the Caps do with this guy from Minnesota now? Is he just like...
I think he's a guy that, you know, is he coming to play the Brett Connolly role from last season? I mean, I was just reading about him.
So Brett Connolly's gone.
And then I closed the article, so that's a great plan. He's a fourth line guy. He played center for the Wild last season. The article that I was reading before I stupidly closed it, and I don't know why, where they were talking about how he had the opportunity last season with the Wild, with Boudreau, to come in and claim a fourth line center spot or a fourth line spot in general and didn't take advantage of it. And maybe a new environment is something great. His cap is only $625,000, so he's cheap, so that definitely helps the team. You put him on the line with Beagle and someone else, maybe Nathan Walker. I can't do an Australian accent, so I don't know why I went Boston there. But does he become the first Australian to play in the NHL? And
yes.
You have saved yourself a ton of money. I mean, right now, all right, so I did it on cap friendly. Oh, wait, I have to resign. Crap, hold on. I have to resign Phoenix Copeland. Well, that guy can't be expensive. He's going to cost, like, let's say $850,000. Right, so he becomes your backup goaltender. I have 3.1 million in salary cap space, but I need another defenseman. Mm-hmm. You got to get rid of Orpik. I got Kuznetsov back at 6 mil. I got Oshie back at 6 mil. I got Burakovsky back at 3. Who else did I bring back? Orlov back at 3. He might be a little bit more. You know, so you got to get rid of Orpik. Even if it just frees up $2 million, then you have space to sign a defenseman. You'll have about 5 mil to sign a defenseman for the second pairing, which is enough. If you have Bowie.
I don't think they're going to do it. I don't.
Then you got to Then you got to sign someone else unless Chorny's playing every night.
See, this is why we're
Look, man, it's possible.
It's not.
Oh, wow. Don't say it's not. It's Brandon. Possible, you liar.
It's not possible.
It's just, I don't know. This whole situation is a mess right now. It's just, it'll be interesting. I mean, McCollin has made moves, and he's made good ones.
He's done some good things. I mean,
All right, question. We're going completely off book in terms of what we prepared for in advance, but what would you give McCollin as a grade? In terms of being the general manager up until this point of the Washington Capitals.
Oh, as a general manager, I give the dude an A because he has gotten every player that and filled every spot that is needed. As a team, I give us a D because that with that much talent on the ice and to not get past the second round, that's on them. Because
yeah, but the two are connected. Like his moves as a general manager made this team, though.
I
might take that back because some of it comes back to coaching.
The team is great, and then the postseason happens, and they forget how to ice hockey.
There's asterisks next to that whole "this team is great" thing. This team is great. A little asterisk saying in the regular season.
Yeah, we're gonna have two more banners for the President's Trophy after these two years. Yeah, last year and this year. Whoop de doo.
We don't even get new banners. They just add a little thing to the one they already have.
Well, but Brian McClellan, he got us TJ Oshie. How friggin' fantastic is that? He brought in...
I don't see McPhee making that move. I think McPhee maybe signs Niskanen or Orpik, but not both.
No, what McPhee does is he doesn't get Kevin Shattenkirk, but gets Phoenix Copley and still loses, all the money and everything and the draft picks. You know, that's what he would do because George McPhee loves the cheap... You know, the bargain bin of players that he can get. He can get 3 for 5 or whatever.
McClellan did that too in terms of bringing in Connolly. But the point is, McClellan right now, overall, I give him a B-C+. He's built solid teams. He's brought in, good coaching. But it hasn't gotten to the next level. But you want to see a general manager who's really good. Let's see what he pulls off this offseason. It was real easy to go out and spend a lot of money when he first came in and brought in Niskanen and Orpik. It was, I mean, not easy necessarily, but to be able to go out and make that trade that he had to bring in Oshie, it was daring, but it's not necessarily something that would reflect well on because the Blues were looking to get rid of him in terms of they were looking for something, they wanted to switch up their team a little bit, be a little bit more aggressive, sure. Which is why they brought in Brouwer, which is another name going off topic a little bit. Brouwer's name that was being thrown around there to go to Vegas. That would have been interesting. But going back to the whole Oshie and McClellan thing, this is the offseason that will show if McClellan really is a good general manager or not, because he's going to have to work some freaking magic have this team being a playoff caliber team next season, at least defensively. Offensively, if they bring back Oshie, they're going to bring back Kuznetsov and Burakovsky. You likely have your forwards being Ovechkin, Backstrom, Oshie, Johansson, Kuznetsov, Burakovsky, Vrana, Eller, Wilson, and then Beagle, and I don't know what's next, and whether you have the vacuum in Grayovec, I'm calling him that even if it doesn't make sense. And then either Walker or Barber or Boyd or one of these guys on the right side. Or maybe they bring back Connolly. I would, just because you need the cap space and these other guys are cheaper, but that's by his point. So this is going to be the offseason to see if McClellan is as good as he says he is. Not that he's saying he is. That didn't make any sense.
Right.
But if he's as good as we all seem to think he's been doing so far, he's got to show it now.
Yeah, he absolutely does. I think he's done a great job building a team. I think it's the team that hasn't been able to get everything done. So it'll be interesting to see what he does this offseason. And he's definitely got his work cut out for him because a lot of these players, I don't see how you keep them, TJ Oshie. But if he can do it.
I told you how to do it.
If he can
do it. Even keeping Orpik and Chorny, you've got $3.1 million in cap space.
I don't know.
If you can get these guys to agree to the deals that I created.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do that.
Well, some of mine make sense.
Unless Brian McClellan.
Unless
Brian McClellan goes into the meeting and be like, have you heard of this podcast, What the Puck? We have this awesome idea. So this guy, Coach Dan, came up.
Burakovsky, I talked about this before when our last show, when Ryan Drury was on, that Burakovsky makes the same amount that Kuznetsov was making because they're kind of on the same he's on the same path. Burakovsky's got to play top 6 minutes next season. So he'll probably make what Kuznetsov made before, which is $3 million a season, or at least a cap hit-wise. I think Kuznetsov gets bumped up to 6. I think Oshie's probably around there, too. They're not going over what Backstrom is making at 6.7.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, I don't know Johansson when his contract is up. When is Johansson's contract up? Because that's another problem to look into. Oh, after next season. Eller, Wilson, and Beagle are all after this season. They might all be gone after this season. Mm-hmm. Maybe probably not Wilson. Though I don't know how you raise him up. Because he hasn't shown anything to get over what he's making now.
No, he has not. Little shades of brilliance from Wilson, but few and far between.
Yeah, it shows up every once in a while. But again, all right, so is he one of these guys? We've seen a little bit, but one of these guys like Burakovsky, where he was playing on the third line and he's not really having a lot of offensive opportunities. And then you move him up to the first or second line, and suddenly it's like, holy crap, look at this guy.
Well, no, he's done that. He's been on the first line. He's been on the Backstrom Ovechkin line and didn't do well there. He's
He wasn't there that long.
Yeah.
It takes more than a couple of games. I mean, you got to develop chemistry. You got to actually see consistency. Is the team struggling at that point? So they're not playing as well. There's a lot of things that go into it. But no, I mean, I don't see Wilson right now as a top six guy, and I don't think he's going to be. He should be making top six money. So I think this next season, with him going into his last year of his deal, and then being a restricted free agent. He's going to have to show something. Otherwise, he might be moving out. Yeah. Ooh, is he a trade bait to bring in a defenseman? Woo-hoo. I don't think they do that after they just protected him.
He's a guy who I think would do well in Boston. I could see him in Boston.
He might be looking at a little younger. But yeah, no, the Schmidt thing. Yeah.
Sucks, but it happened.
Yep.
All right, so let's move on. Let's talk about the new sweaters. Adidas unveiled new sweaters for the entire league, caps included, and caps wise, not a lot has changed. What's your thought on the new threads?
I think they're fine. I know everyone's like freaking out about them, and I think some teams are fine. Some, you know, there weren't like massive changes across the league. I get the whole thing about like not going have anyone having a third jersey this year because Adidas wants to sort of streamline everything, and then probably next season they'll come back with some of that stuff. I think the Caps missed a good chance here to go back to the old red, white, and blues, but whatever. The one thing that I thought wasn't a big deal at first, and now that I'm looking at it, kind of annoys me, is the blue stripe across just below the neck. Correct. Like the fact that it's not like a V-neck anymore, and it's just sort of like a normal collar, like I don't care.
Yeah,
like that doesn't bother me one bit, but... It looks kind of weird. Like, why is the blue line not just stop?
Well, like, look
once it gets up like to the armpit.
Does the line connect to the sleeves? Because like in the pictures there, it looks like the line.
The jersey's just folded. Okay. I think it's because the Caps jerseys currently do the same thing. Hang on, I'll take this one off my closet. I can't. My short arms, guys. Hold on. I made it. Okay, so you're seeing this one, Brandon, on the thing? So, like, the blue line goes up, and it goes up, but it goes higher up.
Correct.
So this one looks like it goes up and then just, like, cuts across.
Okay.
So it's weird.
So, like, they move the wiggle.
It's not a big deal. Like, you know, they move the wiggle up higher, which I actually think looks kind of cool.
I like that a little bit better. But that blue line is a little distracting. I don't know if that's actually necessary. I like the bottom of the away, that it's still a little bit of red at the bottom, which I think is what the old ones had.
I'm going to go on record right now. Never been a big fan of the Caps jerseys. These iterations.
Do you like the Screaming Eagle better?
No. I wasn't commenting in like whether I like one better than the other. I get that they're trying to be different, and none of the other jerseys look like this one, and they stand out in terms of being different. But I guess I'm more of a... hang on. I got to find out all the jersey reveals so I can tell you like which ones I thought would look cool. But I like the old one, you know, the old ones better.
Now, I got to say with the Adidas stuff, a lot of people didn't like it, and they said it was kind of dull and boring. But I like the sleek kind of minimalist jerseys that a lot of these guys have out now, like Detroit. And even though everybody hated Nashville, I don't mind Nashville's at all. I like that. If you look, that's the big thing with logos right now, is that they're very minimal, barely like there's barely any texture to them or anything. Look at the NFL on CBS logo. It is literally the CBS eye and then NFL in bold font, and that's it. And I think that's what Adidas was going for. A lot of these sweaters are very simple. It's not a lot going on. There's a lot of stripes, but there's not a lot of difference in between a lot of the jerseys. And I'm okay with that. Like, if the Caps came out and they did what Minnesota did. Minnesota has, like, a white bar behind their logo. If they would have done that on the Caps jersey, it would have looked a little bit like the Florida Panthers, but I would have been okay with it because I kind of like that.
Oh, the bar, it's so like the, yeah, it's like Minnesota jersey, and I can't find the Panthers jersey right now on this thing. They're just weird. Like the Panthers one, not the Panthers, I'm sorry, the Coyotes jersey, Calgary's.
The Coyotes one is weird because it's got so many different colors on the sleeve.
Well, that's the same thing with Vegas.
Yeah.
It's like, it's got black and then gold and then red and then gray. Like, I don't know why we're talking so much about fashion. We do that a lot on this show.
We do. We're high fashion.
But all right. But look at it. Like, the Capitals ones stand out because there's none of the rest look the same.
Correct.
They look the same. None of them look like the Caps ones. But if you look at Dallas,
the closest one to the Caps is probably Columbus, because they have the straight line like the Caps do across.
Columbus's jerseys.
Yeah, they're okay.
Not when they had the Bumblebee thing, but I actually do like theirs. But like, if you look at, you know, Calgary or St. Louis or Winnipeg or Dallas, the Devils, like, they're much – I like those. Edmonton. Yeah. I like the ones that are a little more old school, a little more – not basic per se, but they're classy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Caps ones are – I don't know. There's like – I've never been a huge fan. I'd like for them to go back to the old red, white, and blues.
To everyone that bought that third alternate jersey last year.
I'll still wear it to a game. That don't matter. I'll wear my old blue Cal Johansson jersey. Where did it go?
I think Detroit is my favorite of the new Adidas jerseys. I think maybe Detroit and Toronto.
Wait, I can't find. Why is theirs not up? Oh, that's because I didn't have all of them open. Detroit's good. I like Buffalo, except for the number on the front. Are they the only team that has the number on the front now?
Looks like it, yeah.
Yeah, Tampa. Didn't Tampa have that at one point? Yeah, I don't understand the number on the front. That's dumb. But I like Buffalo's otherwise. Vancouver needs to get rid of the word Vancouver on theirs. That always annoyed me.
Just in case you forgot.
Like, it's not like they're going to go into a building and an away game and fans are going to be like, wait, who are they playing again?
Who are the Whales? I don't understand. Hartford's back?
Who are these Orcas? We know who you are. It's fine. Whatever.
If you look at the Jets, the Dallas Adidas, Stars, and the Blackhawks, almost like identical. Stripe at the bottom, stripe on the sleeves.
Sort of. Winnipeg's got a little bit more in terms of the stripes. I would say Dallas and San Jose are pretty similar. The only difference is the bottom of the jerseys.
Yeah.
I would like some ones with some laces for the Caps.
Yeah, who kept laces? It was Toronto and Carolina.
Montreal, Toronto, Buffalo,
New York,
the Rangers, yeah, Carolina, both New York teams, interesting. All three New York teams, technically. Dallas, San Jose. I like laces. That would be kind of cool with a Caps jersey. Little laces. I want to go old school red, white, and blue, and some laces.
Do you remember the fake laces on the USA Olympic jerseys? God, they were bad.
They were bad all the way around.
Yeah. I'm intrigued by these jerseys. I'd like to go to Verizon Center and see like what they look like as far as the fan version of what we get, but I'm not like going to go run out and buy a brand new jersey because of these. I'm not as impressed. I'll see what they do for like the stadium series, and maybe something fun will come out of there. But right
now, you think they'll have different jerseys for the stadium series? Because it sounds like Adidas wants to streamline everything just normal.
I think the NHL really likes money, and they will do something different.
Good point.
For the stadium. They got to be angry that there's no third jersey they can sell right now. So they're going to get third jerseys somewhere. But
let's also talk about the Flyers jerseys suck.
Well, Flyers.
I've never liked theirs.
Yeah.
And Colorado's weird sleeve thing. Anyways, and LA's are weird as well. But yeah.
Good.
Go old school.
I'm not angry about these. I'm not excited about these. I'm like, okay, you know, you've made some improvements for performance. I'm not a hockey player, so I don't really care about that. But I like the sleek look. I like the clean look. You know, I'm not, you know, doesn't really move the needle for me. But new Adidas jerseys, we'll see what happens. We'll be seeing them all regular season. And no U.S. hockey jersey for any of these players. So let's talk about the schedule. Schedule got released earlier today. And the Caps, they've got a pretty uneven schedule. They have a lot of days off at the beginning of the year. A lot of then a lot of games in a very short amount of time from January on. Any games jump out at you right now that you're excited about?
Well, it looks like I'm going to miss a couple while I'm on my winter excursion. I think I'm going to miss them when they go to Vegas.
Yeah, so the first time they go out to Vegas is December 23rd.
I'll actually be closer to them when they're in Vegas and Arizona than if I were at home.
So if any Caps fans out there are looking to spend Christmas or the holidays, whatever you celebrate, in Las Vegas, you can go to a Caps game on December 23rd and enjoy that.
Here's an interesting one. How about February 4th, they play Vegas at 12:30 on a Sunday.
And that is Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, so they're going to get, you know, that's going to be on NBC before the big game for the NFL. So that's going to be a good one to watch. Caps versus Vegas in D.C. for the first time.
Here's what goes. October 17th, they take on the Maple Leafs, first time since eliminating them from the playoffs.
That's right. And the home opener is on October 7th against the Montreal Canadiens.
That's a Saturday, right?
Yes, that's a Saturday.
Nice. All right, I got to try and go to that one.
First game, Brandon,
you know what's going to be great? When the promotional schedule comes out and it's all garbage. Let me ask you, what kind of scheduled magnet do you think they're going to give away this time?
Let's see. I think the one...
The one from this year was actually pretty cool.
It was like shaped like a jersey or something, right?
It had like... So the schedule was the jersey, and then they had four like players, little like face things you could take off and put on your... You know, it was actually... I admit, that was actually pretty cool.
They're going to give out pens that whenever you click it... It tells you a different date and game coming up. That's what they're going to do this year. Click, click.
That'd be interesting.
Click, click.
I want to. If they're going to give out pens, I want one that if you click, like press a button or something, a little goal light goes off.
I had one of them.
Is that a real thing?
That's a real thing. Yeah.
I want it.
I had one of them. They were cool.
Oh, they play after Thanksgiving. Oh God.
Yeah. So they play on Thanksgiving Eve. One of the. The busiest nights for people that go out to drink, busiest night for cops,
and of course March 3rd, play in Annapolis.
That's right. They'll be in Annapolis for the outdoor game against Toronto. But we have Ottawa Thanksgiving Eve, and then Black Friday they're up against Tampa Bay, and then for like I think Mike Vogel.
But I am in a food coma. Stuff on the internet. I am not going out to stores.
I think Mike,
you're crazy, man.
I go out at like 2 in the morning and get back at like 8.
You're crazy.
What is it?
Lost your damn mind.
The Caps, this is from Mike Vogel. The Caps will be playing Toronto on the Saturday following Thanksgiving for the fourth consecutive season. So that is their go-to game after that Saturday after Thanksgiving.
A big rivalry.
Big old rivalry. And then we have, December 23rd. Is the game in Vegas. Where is that listed? There it is. And then they have a couple days off, and then they're back the 27th of December, and they play... They don't even play New Year's Eve this time. This is the 30th.
Good.
December 30th, and then they're not back until January 3rd. So they have a lot of days off in between. A lot of these shows that you and I are going to have...
October, they play Florida on the 20th... I can't tell because the picture's too small. But they play Florida on the 20-something on Saturday, and then they don't play again until the following Thursday.
A lot of days
January,
off.
January, they got a couple of gaps.
They have the bye week after Carolina, and then after that they're going to have another 4-5 days off for the All-Star game.
I forgot about the stupid bye week.
So they have...
It's not even a full week! Good, because it's dumb, but like... whatever. They're dumb.
Let's see, what are some other big ones? Yeah, so this is from Mike Vogel. Nearly half, 19 of 41 of Washington's road games are made up of one-game trips. The longest road journey of the season is a four-game tour to Winnipeg, Minnesota, Chicago, and Buffalo in mid-February, which, God, Minnesota and Buffalo and Chicago, that's just call that the coldest trip ever, those four places in mid-February. The Caps.
Yeah, but in March, they go to Anaheim, L.A., and San Jose.
All right, that's not bad. That's a little bit better. The Caps would play four consecutive road games in the latter half of December, and that group of games is sandwiched around the NHL's holiday break, so it will actually be comprised of two separate trips. So, I mean, lots of stuff going on. All right, so this is interesting. So after facing the Hurricanes on January 2nd to start off the 2018 portion of the schedule, the Caps will have 4 days off. Then they'll play four games in 6 nights before having their bye week. Washington must play 3 games in 4 nights coming out of the bye week, and then it will have just 1 game in the next 10, a span that includes a 5-day break for the All-Star game. So they have 2 5-day breaks in January, a 4-day break, and a 3-day break. And that's just January.
Welcome to Capital Scheduling, everybody. Or the NHL Scheduling, I should say.
So from that, again, this is from Mike Vogel. From that time, the Caps come back to work after the All-Star break. Until the end of the season, the Caps will not have more than 2 consecutive days off at any point. So... from February until beginning of April, 2 days off. That's about all they'll have in between games. And the Caps will finish off their regular season in April against New Jersey.
Yeah. Busy times.
Busy times.
Not yet.
And, of course, they're going to be against Calgary the weekend before Halloween. Because that's when the horse show is in town in D.C. So they go out to Western Canada.
I'm rolling my eyes. Dumb. So, dumb.
So, yeah, that's the schedule. So lots of fun stuff. I think the Vegas Super Bowl game is going to be probably the one that has most people excited. That and the Annapolis game.
I'd like to go to the Annapolis game. I'm curious as to how expensive it's going to be.
Now, I'm not really worried about the cost, per se. I'm more worried about getting in and out of Annapolis, because when they have a football game there, they shut down exits off the interstate.
Well, wait. When is that game again? It's on a Saturday. All right,
March 3rd.
All right, I'm not as concerned, because it's a Saturday, so like, who cares? You got nowhere to be the next day? Don't worry about it.
I just hate parking. Yeah, parking and getting out of places is just like that.
That's why you take your time leaving.
Or you get a hotel room in Annapolis and just stay there for the night.
It's not that far. You're not driving back to Richmond.
All right. So anything else we should cover in Caps World?
Yeah, well, congratulations to Braden Holtby in winning the 2017 William Jennings Trophy, though we already knew that was coming.
So what is the award that Braden Holtby, what is it for?
So it means that he had the fewest goals scored against him based on his regular season play. He had to play a minimum of 25 games to actually be eligible for it. So it means that he was really good in the regular season, and Braden Holtby is a beast. He actually didn't come in second in the Vezina Trophy?
Yeah.
Voting or whatever? So, I mean, Bobrovsky earned it this season, but... you know, so, you know, it's amazing to have a goalie of this caliber on this team. I mean, it's just fun. And now they need some defensemen to go along with it. Another Caps news, Caps re-signed. We talked about earlier, Christian Juice to a 2-year deal. I want this guy to make it because, again, marketing, fantastic. So much great marketing. His last name is Juice. You can have so much fun with that one.
Yeah.
2 years, $1.3 million total, so he's definitely cheap. If you're to bring him up, they also re-signed, I saw Nathan Walker, so that's good. I think he has a chance to make the team next season. They got this Grailvac guy. Not really sure how old he is. I'm not seeing in this article that I'm reading real quick, so what do know? But I think he's got a chance to make the team. And if he doesn't, you know, you just plug in, you know, do you re-sign Connolly or somebody else? But if he's cheap, can't hurt. That's pretty much all caps for right now. We're just keep, you know, it's going to be interesting on Friday when, you know, people are going to listen to this, depending on Brandon, when you decide to edit and post, to see what the Caps do at the draft. But they don't really have a lot of picks to trade that are going to bring in a guy, at least not this season, that are going to bring in a guy that is going to be a top four defenseman. Or do you trade for a restricted free agent that is struggling and hope that to find another Brett Connolly?
The big thing with them is that they have nothing to do until the fourth round, so really they're going to have to rely.
They're not picking until next Wednesday.
They have to rely on trades, if anything. So, you know.
And if their prospect pool is dwindling a little bit because of all the trades they've already made, can they afford to deal any more picks now and in the future for the current team? I think Grubauer. You move out Grubauer, and depending on who's available, do you genuinely look at moving a forward like Wilson?
Yeah, if you were already making, you know, the books around Grubauer not being around, what do you do to get something back for him? That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that could be very, very... Any idea who has the most picks in, like, round one right now?
I think Vegas. So they have, like, 3 first-round picks.
Freaking Vegas.
I mean, they're trying to load them up, man.
Yeah. I was going to say, maybe there's a deal to be done. I think McPhee's a little ticked off Brian McClellan took his job, so he's not going to help him out.
No, it's not his fault.
I think that's what it is, taking it personal. It
doesn't even make sense.
He's taking it personal. He's going to burn Washington to the ground.
Well, that's just rude. No, I mean, it's Friday, tomorrow, or today when you're listening. Watch him do nothing.
Yeah.
It was a draft years ago when they traded for Brouwer. Surprised everybody and overpaid to get him. So who knows? I mean, maybe they go out and they surprise everyone.
Brian McClellan, you know, he does what he wants. You know, he does what I want. Here's the other thing. He didn't tell anybody a thing after the season ended. You remember he took 3 weeks off?
He was really thinking about, like, what the hell.
He was like, all right, guys, I can't really talk about this. We got work to do. 3 weeks later, he comes out and goes, yeah, we're not changing anything. I've been in my office thinking.
I think he was tempted.
All right, so here's my prediction. All right, so here we go. My prediction for the new season. Barry Trotz will be let go Black Friday, November.
McPhee's gone, man. It's not like they're always going to be traded away. People are going to get fired always on Black Friday.
I think it's going to happen. I think they're going to give him 2 months, and they're going to be like, look, Barry, this ain't working out. Same thing.
Like I said earlier about McClellan, in terms of, like, he's really going to show what he's made of this offseason because he doesn't have a lot of cap space to work with. He's got a lot of work to do. Same thing for Trotz. This is a team that's not going to be as loaded as it has been. He's going to have to show if he really is a top-level coach, if he can get more out of this team than the talent may show on paper.
And I don't think he will. I don't. And I think they're going to let him go in November.
That's going to be rough. Well, who are you going to replace him with? I mean, I guess Reardon, because he's getting a lot of looks at other top jobs.
Yeah, and they wouldn't let him talk to a couple teams because they're like, oh, we got plans for you here. Just stick around.
Hang out a little while longer, apparently.
Same thing they told Conan right before they canned him after the Jay Leno thing didn't work out. Just stick around, let Jay have it for 5 more years, and the seat's yours. And then he got the seat, and they're like, ugh, yeah, we don't want to do this anymore.
You're not our type of goofy.
Yeah. And that's what happened. All right, so I think that's pretty much it for the show this week. We'll be back next week to talk about what the Caps may or may not draft or trade for, so that'll be fun. But if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, where I'm talking about all sorts of Capitals things, or at least last night when it was like Vegas select Schmidt, and everyone was like, no! The worst thing ever. We've lost the funny guy. I'm also talking about Arsenal Football Club, what they're doing this off during the summer, and the moves, and now they're spending $150 billion just signing one French player.
I love the fact that we're an audio podcast, and you just held up your Arsenal.
I did it for you. Not for everybody. It was wear a sports jersey day at my business. But I did that for you, Brandon, because you got to represent the Arsenal. But, yeah, how they're going to spend $130 million on killing Mbappe. I just don't understand that. You don't even understand the words that I'm using right now.
Who are they killing?
They're not even going to do it. No, his name is Killian. Not killing name. Anyone. He's French, I think. I'm pretty sure he's French. It's not going to happen. They're going to sign Lacazette, and then Alexis is going to go to Bayern or City, and I'm going to cry. But you can also find an old piece. Well, it's a little old now, but a piece I wrote at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads. Of which, Brandon, how many bobbleheads are they not going to have next season as giveaways? The correct answer is all of them.
We're getting Andre Burakovsky for a blood drive. That's all I know. He's coming up.
All right, well, that's kind of cool, but it doesn't really count.
Did you see the new U.S. soccer jerseys that came out, leaked?
Yeah, I like them.
With the stars all over the place?
Yeah.
I dig it. I like it.
I like it. I might have to get one when they're on sale. Not that I don't own enough soccer jerseys as it is. If my fiance is listening, she's going to kill me. I wrote a piece for Capitals Outsider about the Caps off season and what it may entail and the sort of trouble they have ahead of them. It's a little outdated now with Schmidt no longer being here. But go ahead and give it a go back. Capitals Outsider, find it. It's a good little piece that I wrote. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. Brandon, did I scare you a little bit there with that one? You're like, oh, what? Tell us a little bit about Brando Cash Entertainment.
So I go to BrandoCash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck.
I scared myself.
And all the podcasts that we do here. Go over to Facebook, facebook.com/WTP podcast. Also, follow us on the Twitter at What the Puck Pod. Give us a follow, like us. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Whenever news breaks, we'll be sharing that on those pages as well. And again, with this being the off season, we have a show coming up next week where we'll review the draft. After that, the show's going to be a little bit more sporadic as news breaks. So the best way to catch up, play along, be a part of the show is to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. So I think that's pretty much it for the show this week. Nate Schmidt, thanks for the laughs. It's been fun. We're going to miss you here. Enjoy Vegas or Toronto or wherever you might land. But GM's got some work to do, and hopefully we'll be getting a trade or two in the next couple days. We'll see what happens. So everybody say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
What the Puck? What the Puck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.